Hello, and welcome to Relationship Rewind on WERU FM 89.9 Blue Hill. I'm your host, Carrie Clark, the Prevention and Youth Services Coordinator at Next Step Domestic Violence Project. Often, young people are expected to just know how to be in relationships in healthy and equal ways. But we learn through the examples of relationships given to us, and a big place we see these examples is in the media we watch. That's why this show uses media like movies and TV shows to start conversations about harmful and unhealthy behaviors in the relationships portrayed. But this is not to pass judgment on the media that we're discussing. Every month, we invite young people in Maine to give their perspective and to voice their thoughts, opinions, and experiences around what they've seen in media and how it has impacted them or the people they know. There are sensitive materials in and spoilers of the media we discuss. We are excited to welcome back as our guest this month, local librarian and WERU DJ, Corey. Our conversation today focuses on the book, My Brilliant Friend, by Elena Ferrante. This book is the first in a series of four and follows the competitive friendship between Leela and Elena as they navigate poverty and violence growing up in 1950s Italy. This story focuses on the girls' early lives and romantic and family friendships as they come of age. If you need support or would like to learn more about dating violence or domestic violence, please reach out to us at Next Step by calling our 24/7 helpline at 1-800-315-5579. You can also find resources for young people on our website at nextstepdvproject.org/4-youth. Keep up with our community events and see upcoming information about our show by following us at Next Step Domestic Violence Project on Facebook or on Instagram at Next Step DV Project Official. I'd like to now introduce Corey for our conversation about My Brilliant Friend. The last time you were our guest, we were able to discuss Dolly Parton, which was really fun. And it's still the only episode that we have done so far where we talk about music, which is kind of surprising. But I am curious to know if having that conversation kind of has made you think about media any differently, or maybe like notice some things that you might not have paid attention to before.
I feel like I've thought a lot about how media has changed since I was younger. And I feel like as I've gotten older, I've gravitated more towards stories that are better representations of healthy relationships, or make it really clear, like it's part of the story that a relationship is bad or a person is being manipulative or abusive. But it's also made me really reflect talking with you last time and then since then, and even thinking about the book we're going to talk about. It's made me really reflect on my ability as I've gotten older and learned more about relationships and healthy relationships. It's much easier for me to view those stories with that lens. And so I've thought a lot about, you know, putting myself in a different perspective where I don't have those emotional tools and experiences to analyze that, and thinking about the ways in which something that to me is, you know, oh, this character is obviously bad and this relationship is obviously bad, but what about a person who doesn't see those same sort of signifiers, and what would that be like?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting as we get older and as we have those experiences ourselves, and as we are able to kind of look at it through that different lens, how it definitely changes the way that we view the media. Yeah, it's just really interesting to see the evolution of that. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a really good point. And I have myself definitely noticed that as I'm having these conversations with folks, I am a little more critical of when I view things in the media, or I'm reading a book especially. Like I'm currently beta reading a book for a friend, and it's so funny because I think that if I read the same book like 10 years ago, I would have been like, oh my gosh, this is so romantic. I'm reading it now. I'm like, no, I don't like this. This is not okay behavior. So I think having conversations like this is really, really important, especially for younger folks who don't have those experiences. So we are going to talk about the book, My Brilliant Friend. What was it about this book that made you think of it for the show?
I think when you had originally reached out to me and I mentioned it, I think I had just finished it or the whole series, the Neapolitan series. So this, it was just such a well-written book, and I think I just wanted to spend more time talking and thinking about these characters because they're really complex. And then it made me, I mean, so much of it is about these relationships that are so complex, like really complex female friendship, really complex romantic relationships that are so influenced by things like class and politics and you know, so it just there it felt like there was so much to unpack with it.
Yeah, there is definitely a lot going on in this book because it's not just the story of these two girls. It is really about the whole town and the political climate and the classes between the folks in the town. And so I think it's actually pretty relevant still, unfortunately. But I think it gives us a lot to dissect and a lot to discuss. So, we can definitely just jump right in. Can you think of an example that kind of stands out the most, where some of the behaviors that are happening are pretty unhealthy or toxic, but they're very normalized?
Sure. I think, particularly struck by Elena's kind of a obsession with Nino, who's sort of her childhood crush. And I think Elena is written in this way that is so relatable to me from when I was her age, and just some of the things that she goes through in this book, like, you know, going through puberty and feeling ugly and having really low self-esteem, especially compared to other girls in her class. So like her relationship with Leela gets really complicated as they sort of transition into young women, and this sort of constant comparison between the way they look but also their levels of intelligence. And then that sort of bleeds into her sort of a obsession with Nino in this way that it really feels like, even though she ends up dating a couple of other people in this book, a couple of other boys, she has this sort of obsession, and it almost feels like she thinks he's her soulmate or something. I feel like the idea of soulmates can be really toxic. I don't like that idea necessarily, because I think oftentimes that can make people feel like they need to be with this one person, even if that person isn't a good fit for them ultimately.
For sure, think that I experienced that as well. That idea of soulmates, that's so spot on. I think when you're young, especially because you don't have those experiences to know that there are, many people out there who would be a great fit for you. It's easy to just hang on to this one person because we have this notion that we are meant to be with this person. But we haven't been with other people. We haven't met so many people. We're still in this like very small bubble of people that we've ever met or that we know. When we are growing and then we're moving out into the world, we're meeting all of these other people. But if we are still in the mindset that I need to be with this person, it's really closing us off to the possibilities of being with other people, and I think that can definitely be really harmful. What do you think the impact of the notion of soulmates could be for people who don't have that experience to know?
Especially in earlier, stages of dating people, I think again, not having that experience of knowing that there are lots of different people that could potentially be a good fit, you tend to think like, this is it. This one person is my like chance at love and happiness, and we're meant to be together. So I think this could kind of reaffirm those ideas in a person where it's like, oh, yes, Elena has her person that, you know, I'm sure they're going to end up together, even though there's a lot of sort of loosey goosey dynamics between them in this book. And then I think too, because Elena in the book like doesn't really even know Nino that well. They don't interact that much in the book. It's sort of a very distanced kind of crush. And I think that also kind of reinforces this idea almost of destiny. And I think if you have this idea that this person is your person and there's no one else, it almost prevents you from really seeing that person for who they are because you just have this idea of them in your head. And I think as we get older, we realize that no one's perfect and people have different idiosyncrasies or things that they're not as good at, or ways in which they might fall short of this expectation you might have of them. But if you're so convinced that this person is like the person, then you can't really see those things and you don't really allow yourself to see the whole person.
I do think that that's something that we see not just in a lot of media. Hey, Romeo and Juliet. I mean, there's so many romantic movies and shows and books where these people do not know each other hardly at all. They maybe have spoken a couple of times, or they're probably just very physically attracted to this person. And so I think that all of those other things about them just kind of get swept away, and it's easy to look past a lot of things, a lot of behaviors as they start emerging, especially when you think of Nino. Elena writes this like brilliant political piece for the newspaper. And then when Nino realizes how wonderful it is, he just kind of like pushes it aside and then doesn't speak to her for a while and then tells her, oh, there wasn't enough room in the paper. And she is completely heartbroken to realize this. So it's like you're able to see past all of that or push past all of that because you have this notion of who this person was before you learned that they're not who you thought they were. And because you're supposed to be soulmates, that's my person. But you didn't really know who they were before. So I think that that happens a lot. And then that happens a lot in real life because we're seeing these things. So we have this idea of soulmates. It's something that's talked about a lot in real life. So I think it really does have an impact on that.
Yeah, and that particular scene or sort of storyline about the article and how he kind of is threatened by Elena, I think also ties back to her self-esteem and level of confidence. Because in my mind, I was like, you wrote this amazing article and and it was so easy for her to be convinced that they didn't want to publish it because, you know, I think she lacked a lot of self-confidence in that way. And it always makes me curious, like if she had more confidence in herself, would she also see that Nino was not being supportive or like, you know, might be more suspicious of that sort of excuse if she had more confidence in herself and in her writing, might be able to be like, wait a minute, this guy is, did something shady with my article. I don't trust him anymore.
Right, exactly. I think that that's something that we see all too often in media and in real life, where a man is or a boy is kind of threatened or intimidated by the success of the woman that he likes. And I think that having those things perpetuated in the media just really furthers that in real life because we're seeing that it's kind of normal when it shouldn't be. If you're just joining in, this is Relationship Rewind on WERU FM 89.9 Blue Hill. I'm your host, Carrie Clark, and today we're talking with Corey about the complex and toxic behaviors in the book My Brilliant Friend by Elena Ferrante. you mentioned right off the bat, the friendship between Elena and Leela, and I think that's like the biggest thing that happens. That's what the story is about mostly. So just any examples for them or for other romantic partners?
I definitely feel like the sort of competitive element between Elena and Leela, and even just their whole friendship, it's such a galvanizing friendship. Obviously, she wrote this whole book about it. And I think on the one hand, you do see this really deep and important bond between these two girls, especially in relationship to their environment and sort of the poverty and violence that is surrounding them. And they do really provide kind of an anchor and a protection for each other, which is really wonderful and beautiful and adds this layer of complexity to their friendship. Because on the other hand, there's some really toxic things that happen between them. And it feels like a lot of it is fueled by sort of this competition of intelligence. So Elena gets to continue on in school, and that immediately separates her from Leela in terms of sort of the path towards a higher class of living. And she gets to continue going to school and is learning Greek and learning Latin and reading books. And Leela sort of is stuck helping her family's shop. And in this much more domesticated role, but at the same time is secretly reading books and secretly learning faster than Elena. And it feels like this very toxic kind of like who can be smarter, who has the ability to learn more. And I think sometimes Elena writes about it in this way where she inspires, Leela inspires her to learn more, to do better. Which is one great when your friends can inspire you and push you, but it's not coming from that place. It's coming from more of a toxic place where they're sort of competing against each other in a way that feels really negative. And I wish there were more depictions of women pushing each other in a way that's supportive and inspiring because you're helping each other rather than trying to be better than the other person in the friendship.
We really only get to hear Elena's thoughts, but I feel like if we could see it more from Leela's perspective, it would be very similar. Just based on Leela's actions, I felt like she very much had that kind of jealousy too for Elena, because she is stuck working in the shoe shop while her friend is able to go off and continue in school and have all of these experiences that she doesn't get to have. But it's both ways, and instead of being encouraging and supportive of one another, they are constantly dragging each other down when they can. If not in person, they're doing it, behind each other's back, or whenever Elena tries to tell Leela, like, hey, I'm going to school, I'm learning this, I'm really excited about it. Leela just kind of brushes her off and just kind of ignores her, like it's not that big a deal. But on the other hand, Elena is doing that because she wants to show Leela, like, I'm better than you, essentially. Like, I can do all of these things that you aren't able to do. So it definitely goes both ways. And I do think that we see that maybe not as extreme in other media. And then I think that that impacts friendships in real life. There's just this competitiveness that happens. And, he has better Nikes than I do, and I need those Nikes. And I mean, that's kind of a silly example, but that's one that I've actually seen happening. And so just rather than having this support and being happy for our friends, there's this definite kind of jealousy happening and this competitiveness happening. Do you think that the media kind of influences that at all?
I think so because I think it's much more common to see female characters in competition with each other, especially over men in media, than it is to just see dynamic female friendships. or supportive female friendships. One other thing I noticed about the relationship between Elena and Leela is there's so much comparison going on, like comparing yourself to this other person, which I think we all do, but isn't a great behavior. So it's relatable, but at the same time, it's not very helpful for self-confidence or even just to have kind of a realistic view of who you are. Like we're always our own worst critic. And when we compare ourselves to other people, it makes us lose sight of how great we are. Because we're always like, well, I'm not as pretty as Leela, or I'm not as smart as Leela. All the boys like Leela. No one likes me. It's very normalized because I think that that feels real. At the same time, it would be nice to have examples of characters that don't do that, that have confidence and might think, oh, my friend Leela is so beautiful, and I love that, and I'm beautiful too, and that's, you know, like we're both hot or whatever.
How cool would it have been for Elena to be like, oh my gosh, now I have glasses and I can actually see. And I'm so smart. Look at how far I've come. And I wrote this amazing piece for the school paper, or look at all of the things that I'm doing while simultaneously saying, wow, my friend Leela is beautiful, and I'm so happy for her. You know, she gets a lot of attention and she's really smart too. There's enough space for all of us to be our best selves and to be beautiful and to be smart and successful. So it is unfortunate that we see this kind of thing a lot in the media. And I think that that just feeds into that idea that we're not good enough in real life, especially for young people who are watching who don't necessarily have that confidence yet.
The one other thing that I thought of was the kind of the dynamics of all of the boys that Leela and Elena go to school with, and this notion of like honor and protection of their female friends. And I think, you know, there are a few male characters in this book that, you know, are trying to be good people or help their community and neighborhood or kind of fight against some of these more powerful violent entities in their neighborhood. And so I think there's a level of honor or romanticizing of this notion of like the boys protecting the girls. And there are a few scenes where this happens, and they even end up getting into physical fights with other men over these women. And I think a lot of that is indicative of the time in which this book takes place. It's the 1950s, and those really gendered roles were super present in society and at this time. So I think that that on one level makes sense, but I think it can be really construed as this romantic idea of like, oh, all of these boys are protecting their sisters and their female friends, and they're willing to fight for them. And it kind of has this level of, yeah, just a romantic quality to it. But when you really take a step back, you realize that's so toxic, and getting in fights over women is never a good thing.
Do you think that that has any impact at all on the young people who are seeing that?
Absolutely. I think it kind of instills this idea that it's okay if you're the good person on the other, on this, that side of the fight, it's okay to beat someone up or push someone or yell at someone. I think oftentimes in the media, you're typically following a protagonist or, you know, the good guy. And even he might, if he loves this woman or is so committed to whatever good cause that they're sort of on the side of, it's okay for them to engage in a fight. And I think the better model would be having a constructive conversation with someone about your disagreement or calling someone out on a bad behavior, but in a way that is constructive. And maybe just saying, I don't like what you just said about my friend, and I think it was really inappropriate.
Communication, Corey, what are you talking about?
I know, but I suppose they think it doesn't make good TV to not have a fight in there.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. These are, for our entertainment, so it's not always exciting to watch two boys have a healthy conversation about boundaries and what's okay and what's not okay. So I
Yeah.
guess I kind of understand that, but so how do you feel like My Brilliant Friend as a whole could impact those who read it or watch it? Because it is a series as well.
Especially thinking about, people who might align with Elena's identity of being maybe a younger person who is figuring out who they are and being this person who doesn't feel confident and is trying to find their way in the world. And I think it's so easy to feel that connection to this character, but then to also reinforce her same sort of behaviors and maybe toxic views of people or situations. Or you might feel like you have a friend who you feel threatened by because she or he is, more attractive or smarter. And so I think because this character is so well written and relatable that it can kind of reinforce those same kind of, dynamics and lack of confidence and things like that. The producers of these, the people who produce this media, have this idea of the audience and what we want to see. And they have this idea that we want to see violence. We want to see women with no confidence because we'll relate to that. So it's sort of like a cycle, I think, in some ways. And so I think it's helpful to keep in mind that these were made for entertainment and for maybe a misconstrued idea of the audience and what they want to see, and that it's not necessarily reflective of the way the world works or should work.
I'd like to thank Corey for being our guest speaker this month and having this conversation about My Brilliant Friend, the complexities of friendships for young people, and the importance of self-confidence, support, and healthy communication. You've been listening to Relationship Rewind. I'm your host, Carrie Clark, and I hope you'll join us again next month on the third Tuesday from 4:30 to 5, where we will be continuing this conversation and breaking down another relationship in popular media. You can also listen to our live stream or subscribe to our podcast at weru.org or on the WERU smartphone app. You can also find us on Spotify and Apple Music. If you are a young person in Maine who's interested in being a guest speaker on the show, have ideas of media we could talk about, or you know of a young person who might be interested, please reach out to me at cclark@nextstepdvproject.org. If you need support or would like to learn more about dating violence or domestic violence, please reach out to us at Next Step by calling our 24/7 helpline at 1-800-315-5579. You can also find resources for young people on our website at nextstepdvproject.org/4-youth. Keep up with our community events and see upcoming information about our show by following us at Next Step Domestic Violence Project on Facebook or on Instagram at Next Step DV Project Official.